Glenn, right before we got to the top of the hour, you were talking about looking at the unraveling of the DNA molecule and what that means to what we're talking about tonight. Why don't you elaborate a little bit on that?
Right. When Crick, who was the first to unravel the DNA molecule in 1953, he won the Nobel Prize for unraveling the DNA molecule. Excuse me. And one of the things that was interesting about that was is the fact that he says that within each of our bodies, in every one of our cells, if you were to unravel each individual piece of DNA, it would extend about 2 meters long. He says, with the trillions of cells that we have in our body, if you were to tie those DNA molecules together, they would extend approximately 125 billion miles. That's just the DNA inside of one human being.
That's a lot of DNA.
That is a lot. He says then that only 5% of that DNA is used for the creation of the physical body, the mind, consciousness, and everything else. That 95% of that DNA or more is what scientists have called junk DNA because they don't know what it's being used for.
You know what's funny? When he discovered the secret of the life, he was accused by a newspaper of being under the influence of LSD at the time.
He was under the influence of LSD at the time.
Oh, he was?
He most certainly was.
All right.
In fact, part of what he did when he was under the influence of LSD was it actually helped him to unravel the DNA molecule. If you were to ask Don Juan Mattis, once again referring back to Carlos Castaneda's, Don Juan Mattis would say that the only way for you to understand life on this planet would be to take a hallucinogen and do so with intent. And what he meant by his intent was to have a discovery process in your mind and ask that question. You know, I've been around this all for a very, very long period of my life. My sister, for example, typed the last book for Timothy Leary. His last book.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, you know, we knew Small Timothy world. Leary. We knew what he was all about. Timothy Leary was not a good guy, and I'll tell you why. He was right in the sense that under these hallucinogenics, in fact, Graham Hancock in recent days, his last book was written while he was on a hallucinogen. Or he describes his experience on the hallucinogen. And I have utmost admiration for Graham Hancock, and I'm sure you do as well.
Yes. I think it was on ayahuasca?
Ayahuasca, yeah.
Yes, ayahuasca.
Yeah. But anyway, Crick, and you ought to hear what he has to say about how it helped him develop the understanding. But Timothy Leary, what he did was is that he legitimized this for recreational purposes. And I'm going to tell you right now that that's the most foolish thing in the world. It would almost, and pardon me for saying this, it would almost be better that you died and passed on to a greater place than it would be to get lost in that 11-dimensional space because you were playing with that kind of nuclear weapon of the of the DNA. If you ask me, am I a fan of that particular process? The answer is no, and abundantly no. No one should ever do that. There are plenty of books, one of them on my website by Strassman, delineating the MDT molecule. I don't know if you've had any guests describing the MDT molecule, but it's the MDT molecule is called the spirit molecule because this MDT substance, which is the same basic structure as LSD or as ayahuasca or mescaline or whatever it is released into your body at the moment of crisis or at the moment of your death, which totally violates a Darwinian thought about evolution in this particular sense of the word, that why in the world would we adopt releasing an MDT molecule that accelerates our thinking processes through the death experience when it could not have been opted by natural selection because you're dead after you have this experience, nor was it survival of the species because you didn't survive. Those people who have had this experience did not survive. So it would have been very hard for these processes to have come about in a Darwinian protocol.
I tell you, this Francis Crick story fascinates me how he was able to do this.
Well, Francis Crick noticed one thing. Remember that the DNA molecule is a mechanical computer. Let's boil it down to something people can visualize. Our computers are electromagnetic based. This computer that we have inside of our body, which they found now in the fossilized ruins 3.9 billion years ago in the mitochondria of single-celled organisms, that the structure of DNA has not changed for 3.9 billion years. That also violates a Darwinian model of evolution, because what it's saying is that the computer has not evolved. It's DMT, not MDT, excuse me.
Right.
DMT. But the structure of the DNA molecule has not evolved. The computer has not evolved. Just the things that the computer does have changed over time. It's like going into a company and finding new uses for your computer over a long period of time. But the computer itself didn't change. The computer has remained constant. In fact, Francis Crick said that the chances of us finding the DNA molecule here on the Earth out of the random primordial soup were roughly the chances of 1 to the 260th power. Now, that's 1 with 260 zeros behind it. Let's quantify that for a moment so people understand that. If you count all of the molecules in the universe, that would approximate 1 to the 80th power.
See, and did not Crick believe that the DNA has not evolved at all, but kind of was introduced?
Yeah. In fact, Crick said that let me preface that by saying that in our scientific protocols today, for example, I had a long talk with Thomas Budge, who is a geneticist and head of the dairy at a major university here in the West. He says that once scientists have reached a phenomena that has reached 1 to the 60th power, that it is impossible for us to think of that as occurring by chance. The chance is no longer a factor, okay?
Right.
1 to the 60th power is no longer a factor. What Crick was thinking in his mind was that this is impossible, that DNA arrived here on this planet by accident or was mixed with the primordial soup. First of all, the amino acids are necessary to create the specific proteins to create DNA and vice versa. So it's a chicken and the egg process. It just simply is an aberration that suddenly appeared. The most complicated molecule in the universe suddenly appeared. And Crick said that there was only one model he could think of for its appearance here, and that was that aliens had brought it here.